I'd like to ask you to grab your Bibles, take a few minutes. We'll look at the scriptures this morning. God is a great and mighty God, and He holds salvation in His hands. He has given to us the greatest gift that anyone could ever have, and that is to be saved. That is to be brought out of the miry clay. That is to be brought out of the dangers of death and destruction, and to be brought into life, and to be brought into a new way of life that will bring us into His coming eternity, the heavens, new heavens and new earth, as is recorded in Revelation 21 and other places, the kingdom of God that is yet to come. Last week we looked a little bit. We looked at Acts, the 11th chapter. We also looked at Acts 4. God must draw people, must draw men to Christ, because salvation is in Christ. Salvation is in nothing else. Salvation is in no one else. Salvation is in the plan that God has made for all of mankind, no matter what your ethnic background, no matter what your religious background. God has given to us one way to be saved and to have future hope into His eternity, His coming kingdom. And that is through this man, this one whom He has chosen to dwell in as a father and a son, giving him all power and authority. And his name is Jesus. God calls us, and He calls us through Jesus Christ by His word. God calls persons through the gospel because it is the means by which God saves. There is no other name on earth by which we must be saved, and that is Jesus, the Son of the living God. God calls us to Himself through Jesus, but He calls us by His word, and by His word of salvation. Turn, if you will, to Romans, the first chapter, verses 16 to 17, on the word of salvation. As I said, God calls persons through the gospel because it is the means by which God saves. In Romans 1, 16 and 17, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first the Jew, then the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? Is the gospel a feeling? Is the gospel some warm, fuzzy thing that you can take and put it in your pocket and save it for later? Is the gospel just a thought? Is the gospel something that's just a story somebody tells? No, the gospel is the word of God for salvation. The gospel is good news. What is the good news? That this is not the end, that this is not the only life, that there is more, and that is given to us in His coming kingdom age, which will be the eternal age, when God will dwell with man and man with God. But these are those who are accepting and coming to God through His word of salvation. God does not call us to feel good. God calls us to have faith and trust that He will do what He said He will do. That is faith. He has said that through this one called Jesus, that there will be new heavens and new earth, and it can be yours. And so by His word of salvation, He calls you and He calls me to Himself. And we must respond. If we do not respond, then it's the same as a no decision and walking away from Him. We cannot go through life just assuming that, and there have been books written about this very topic, I'm okay, you're okay. If your religion works for you, mine works for me, we're all okay. As if we're the ones who have written the word of salvation. But God is the one who has given us one way, Jesus, unto His coming kingdom age. When heaven shall be brought together, God's dwelling place, as we call heaven, shall be brought together with our dwelling place that God has created us to be, earth creatures. Heaven and earth shall come together. God's dwelling place and our dwelling place will be upon a new earth. And it says in the Scripture, in the book of Revelation, that He will walk with us. And we will walk with Him. We will dwell together with Him. We will be brothers and sisters with Jesus, his Son, and we shall be his sons and daughters. And we will dwell forever upon a new earth like you and I have never ever seen before. The dwelling place of God. In James, the first chapter, James 1, verses 21 and 22. I'll give you a moment to turn here. James 1, 21 and 22. James is a great book. I really enjoy James. James and 1 and 2 Peter. 2 Peter is probably one of my most favorite books in the Bible. But here in James 1, 21 and 22, it is said, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So it says, humbly accept the word planted in you. So it is the word of salvation, the word of God, that is bringing salvation to each and every one of us when we look through that prism to be in God's kingdom. Do not merely listen to the word and then deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So we can't just listen to the word and say, oh, I feel so warm and fuzzy all over and inside. Almost sounds like a Christmas commercial of, oh, I feel good all under, you know, with the underwear commercials. That's not what's intended. The word is not just to be some warm, fuzzy thing that makes us think, I'm okay, you're okay. The word takes a conscious decision that God will do what he said he will do, and I am going to answer his call. For he is calling each of us, every human being, he is calling to himself to be reconciled. But not everyone will answer the word. A lot of people will think, hey man, I've got it made. I'm religious, and I do all my religiosity, and I do it the way I'm supposed to. And one day, standing before the Bema seat, and the Lord will look out and say to those on his left, depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, but we did this in your name, and we did that in your name, all these things we did in your name, but I never knew you. Because you have not answered the word of salvation. And God gives us that word, and he gives it freely. One will not be saved apart from the word of God. Doesn't matter what the popular views are about how religious you can be. You cannot be saved apart from the word of God. The word of God. Jesus is the word in the flesh. He is the fulfillment of God's word of salvation. And we cannot be saved. We cannot find salvation. We cannot find peace that passes understanding. We cannot find the door to the coming kingdom until we have heard and we have replied, answered the call of the word of God. How do we know the word of God? We take up that which he inspired, 66 books that have been placed together that we call our Bible. And in these 66 books, we find the gospel message. And the only way we can know the word of God is to hear it being preached, maybe even being sung, you know, preached through songs. But it's to pick up this book and in our own language today, in the 21st century, read it. And then start cross-referencing and finding other places and other books in the Bible that it goes along with. Because this does not contradict itself. It complements one book to the other, one verse to the other. There is a story that is told. It is the word of salvation. And God will open it up to each and every one of us. You don't have to be a theologian or a pastor or preacher. You don't have to be a televangelist to know the word of God. Because he has given it to us in written form for us to open up and to eat it, to digest it, to swallow it. If we don't understand what we read when we open up the book, begin to read and to study it, then we need to be in discussion with others who are doing the same thing, reading, and then be able to discuss with one another. Well, I've read this over in this book, in this verse. Well, that seems to go along with what you read in that book, in that chapter, in that verse. And so we discuss with one another, and we compliment one another, and we encourage one another. That's what Sunday school is all about on Sunday mornings. That's what it's supposed to be about, is digging into the Word of God. Now, I do have a complaint. You may have a complaint too, but I have a complaint. Sunday morning Sunday school is really dragging and lagging and sluggish. Stephen has been doing the openings with the music and putting it together during the week. He comes over here and figures out which songs, practices them, and so forth, to lead a Sunday school opening. And most Sundays, especially through the summer, I know it's summertime, but through the summer, we look out, and at 10 o'clock, there's 5, 6, 7, 8 people here. Because it's not 10:20 yet, or 10:30 yet, when everybody starts to get here. So yeah, I have a complaint. I'd like to see Stephen standing up here going, where are the children? It's 5 after 10. What do we do? So we need to recognize that what it's all about is digesting the Word of God. That's something that should be exciting to us, that we can understand the Word of God. If you don't understand it, then you're not spending enough time in it with other people to discuss it, to dig into it. Because when you do, man, a whole new world opens up to you. And the joy that you have, that you feel inside, and understanding more and more and more of it as we read and study it together. The gospel, the word of salvation, the good news, the word of salvation. Knowledge of the word of God on the part of the lost is essential to salvation. Now, there are popular views out in this world in Christianity today that just as long as you're sincere and you feel good about it, then it must be okay. But that's not what my Bible says. That's not what my Lord Jesus says. That's not what my God has given inspired to write. I don't find anywhere in the Scripture where it says, read and study my word and you will feel good. As a matter of fact, what does Jesus say will take place? The closer to Him that you get, the more the world will despise you. Are you loved by the world right now in your life? Do you feel just simpatico, warm and fuzzy with the world? Maybe you're not spending enough time in the Word of God and then sharing it with others. For you and I are His disciples to share the Word of salvation. That's why we come here to worship, is to build one another up and to have the courage to leave here and face the whole week until next Sunday morning when we can come back together to encourage one another again, to share the Word of salvation with people around us. This is a very religious society we live in. But I wonder how many people have salvation through Jesus Christ by the Word of God. Knowledge of the Word of God on the part of the lost is essential to salvation. Man cannot come to God unless he is taught, unless he has heard, unless he has answered, unless he has digested the Word of God for salvation. So man cannot come unless he is taught. John 6:44-45, that's a scripture from last week. John, the 6th chapter, verses 44 and 45. And these two verses in the book of John, 6, 44 and 45, tell us, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Talk about resurrection. Remember what we've said before? I think last week we mentioned it. Most of Christianity today seems to be flabbergasted as to what to do with this doctrine of resurrection. But Jesus taught it. It says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. If you're not being taught by God and by His Word of salvation, then do you really know God, or do you only know and are comfortable with your religiosity? And when I say that, when I try to point finger I used to have on that hat, I got three of them pointing back at me. That message speaks very strongly to me. Am I so caught up in being a pastor and a preacher and a teacher that I'm into the daily grind and all those different things and putting Bible studies and sermons together and how to do this and how to do that, that I forget to live the Word of God for others? It's an important thing to remember. It says they will all be taught by God. So we must be taught. Someone must be allowed to teach us by the Word of God. God will grant us this blessing of learning and being taught by His Word. No sinner is ever drawn to Christ, I believe. No one who is outside of Christ, who is a sinner in the eyes of God, in the eyes of His Son Jesus, is ever drawn to be dependent upon Christ by being independent from the Word of God. Feelings and emotions don't draw us to God's Word of salvation. They don't draw us to Christ. They might draw us to fooling ourselves that everything's okay without going through the proper steps that God has laid out. But there is the Word of salvation that God has laid out. So no sinner is ever drawn to Christ, independent of being taught the gospel, the good news. And the New Testament lays this out over and over and over again, that when the gospel message, the good news through Jesus Christ, that word of salvation is given out, people came and people were baptized. People were sealed as gods through Jesus Christ. Human creeds, you know, there's all kinds of creeds. Human creeds, emotions, traditions, experiences. Everybody has their own experiences, and you can read all kinds of books. Just go to the bookstore, you find all kinds of books on the experiences of people. But these must never be allowed to replace the Word of God, the Word of salvation. You can go spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on all kinds of books and just really educate yourself on all those things that other people have to say. But without the Word of God being taught to you and you learning from it, how can you truly be drawn to God except through the Word that He gives us? Matthew 15, verses 6 through 9. Matthew 15, verses 6 through 9. He is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. So basically, here's all this religiosity, all this teaching and this worship and everything that's going on, but it was without the Word of God, the Word of salvation. It was being hidden away for more favorable, more exciting, more fun, more sensual things in that day and age. So people were being drawn, and their church was filled, but where was the Word of God? It was hidden away because, I guess, it just wasn't as popular and as much fun as all the other stuff that the pagans were doing. And so the Word of God was being neglected. The Word of God is that which gives faith. Paul said to the church at Rome, and I'll read this one quickly, Romans 10, 17. Romans 10 and verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. The word of salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by that word. The word that God has given us. It's not through our practices and our superstitions and how we feel, but it is making a conscious decision who it is that we will serve and by whom it is that we will learn and be taught. We must learn and know the will of God, His gospel, the message that He has for us. The Word of God will save only when people will submit to the authority of the Word of God. Yet in our society today, we're basically being told, you know, put this old-fashioned stuff away, and let's just all just live one big happy family, and the government will tell you how to do that. That's pretty much what's going on right now here in America. The land of plenty. And we're being led like sheep to a slaughter with the finances and the economy and so forth today. We see what's going on in Washington, D.C. with the White House and the administration, with the Senate, and with the House of Representatives. And they talk about who has the real bill and the suggestions on how to cut the spending. And someone asked me the other day, you know, what exactly are they talking about? And here was my illustrative answer. Was, well, what the government is trying to do, and all those representatives and the president and his administration and so forth, is, and I said this, I told Karen this the other day, I said, for the next 6 months, I am going to go to the bank and borrow money, and I'm going to get every credit card I can, and I'm going to I'm going to plan to spend $300,000. And then I told her, I said, now, I know how you would react if I honestly said I was going to do that. I'm really pretty sure how you would react. And so we'd have a big blow-up about it and so forth. And then finally, I would soothe you by telling you this. All right, I'll compromise. And I'm going to cut that spending. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go to the bank and borrow, and I'm going to get me a lot of credit cards. I'm only going to spend $200,000. There, I cut the spending. That's pretty much what's going on, folks. And they think that you and I are just going to go along with our little busy lives, and there's nothing we can do about it. But you know what? November next year is coming. And you and I each have the power of one vote. And we can vote and make our voices heard. And we need to do that. I know in my household that when our spending is higher than what we take in a week's time or 2 weeks' time or a month's time, we know we have to cut our spending. Real spending, not projected I want to spend, but real spending. What did we just spend last week? We can't do that anymore. How much did we take in? We better spend less than that this next 2 weeks, or we're going to be in trouble. The world has its own ways, and I don't know of any time in history that the world's way was ever the right way when it contradicted God's way. And He gives us the word of salvation, and the world gives us another way, and it's up to you and up to me as to which we will choose to live by. The word of God will save only when people submit to the authority of His word and recognize it is the power for our lives to live by, to receive that salvation in His coming kingdom. Matthew 7, 21. Matthew 7 and 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And how do we know His will if we don't accept and read and study and discuss and encourage one another with the inspired Word of God, the Word of salvation? Hebrews 5, 8 and 9 says, although He was a son, He learned obedience from what He suffered. Verse 9, and once made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation for all who what? Obey Him. If, when you're a child, your mother or your dad never gives you a command or an order, is it possible to disobey them? If you're just let go and never told right from wrong, never told, don't go here, don't go there, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that, go here. If they don't give any instruction whatsoever and no limits, is it possible to be disobedient? Not really. But we have a Father who cares. He cares so much that He let this sinless one, Jesus, die so that we have the opportunity to live. He told Adam and Eve, man, I'll give you the whole earth and here's the garden, this beautiful garden. Eat of everything, drink of everything, just live here, you know, take care of everything. It's all for you. Just don't eat of that one tree. And then Eve was deceived, and she turned and gave to her husband who was with her, and then he was not deceived. He knew full well what he was doing, and he made the decision to sin against God. Now, you and I will not be deceived, for we have heard the word. We have heard that God's way is the only way, and that the word of salvation must be heard, must learn it, we must heed it. We have no excuses. God used to wink at ignorance, but no more. There's no excuse for ignorance today. When it's in our own language, and we can read it, and we can discuss it with others, there is no excuse. For salvation comes by the Word of God. Those obedient to the gospel plan of salvation are added by the Lord to His church. And in Acts 2 and 47, you need not turn there. And they added to the church, the Lord added to the church, daily, those who were being saved. Not just by feel-good things, but by the Word of God and people with conscious decisions chose to have faith that God will do what he says he will do, that this Jesus whom we crucified is going to return. Resurrection, new bodies, new life, the dwelling of mankind, saved man and woman upon a new earth, the heavenly realm of God, his dwelling place, shall be with man, and we shall be his children. All this through the word of salvation. This is filled with the word of salvation, and it behooves us to read it, to share it, to, you know, if you don't have a way to read it, study it, and understand it at home, we have Sunday school classes here for all ages on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock with about a 5 or 10 minute opening. And we have worship service, and we can add Bible studies, as many as we need, for people to learn, for you and your friends to learn from this and to know who it is we believe in and trust in and what the truth of God's Word of salvation is. I would ask that you would turn to our hymnals, to our closing song this morning. Number 336, Make Me a Blessing. Pray that God will give to you the knowledge, the strength, the wisdom to understand his word of salvation, that you might find real joy in it, and then the strength to share it with others. You know, this is just a small portion of the coming kingdom of God. We, together, as an ecclesia, as a gathering, as a group of people, and when we come through these doors, anyone who comes through these doors should find an atmosphere of love, acceptance, forgiveness, and that through the word of salvation which God has given us. Let us stand together and pray that by our singing, that God will make us a blessing out in the highways and byways of life, in the weekly activities, in our schools, our jobs, our neighborhoods, wherever we go, the restaurants like Culver's on Tuesday evening from, what was it, 5 to 9? And so, you know, go by there and eat sometime between 5 and 9 on Tuesday, and let the youth serve you out there that evening. But make me a blessing, Lord. Pray that God will give somebody before you in your life this week that you can be a blessing to, that they might know by experiencing you the word of salvation. Father, we dedicate ourselves to you, our very lives. We pray, Father, that you please help us to be a blessing to others. We thank you for giving Christ, who is a blessing to us. Now let us take the word of salvation, your plan, and Father, help us to find joy and faith in your plan, and that we might have so much joy that it would spill over into the lives and hearts of others, our relatives and friends, our co-workers, our schoolmates, our neighbors. I just pray, Father, that you would send Jesus soon and that your kingdom should be established, your dwelling place, the coming eternal age. We look forward to that end result of faith when it shall be fulfilled in your coming kingdom. We love you, Father. We praise you for giving to us such a great blessing as your word of salvation and Jesus being that word in the flesh. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.